Extend the greetings to you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Thankful again to be here with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, God, and we just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we just pray that you'd help us to be found worthy, Father, of your kingdom. Lord, we just pray that your will would be done in our lives. God, help us this morning to have wisdom. Open my mouth, Father, and Lord, give us ears to hear your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to Matthew talk about the new wineskins. Go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 7. Verse 16. Matthew 9:16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put and to fill it up, taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. I want to talk this morning a little about revival. There's a lot of people that are looking for a revival and are waiting for God to bring a revival into the churches or into the country. They're waiting for God to revive the church. They're waiting for God to revive their denomination. We've heard there's a revival going on among the Amish in one place, somebody said last night. Or there's a revival going on here or there. I've gone to revivals a big part of my life. And I know what people are looking for when they talk about a revival. But the sad thing is, if God brings a revival, most people won't recognize it, they'll run from it, or they'll hate it. Because a revival is going to cost something. A revival is whenever men return back to God. They shouldn't be called revivals, it should be called repentance. Because it's a time when men turn back to God and start obeying Him. And when that revival or that repentance comes, the fruit of that repentance will not be what is expected. Everybody's waiting for a blessing, for God to bless them and just make everything smoothed out in their life. Smooth everything out in their life. But when a revival comes, God turns the world upside down. When a revival comes, He doesn't come to bring peace on earth. A revival brings division and a sword. And it's painful. It brings a burden. And it's hard. And people don't like it. When revival comes, instead of the newspapers printing about a great revival sweeping across the city, thinking of a glorious thing, it's despised and put down and hated because it's tearing the way things used to be all up. It's tearing up comfort zones. It's making things uncomfortable to everyone around it when God comes. Because when God comes into this world hates God. People are looking. They're waiting for this revival. They're setting themselves up to be revived into the Antichrist system. They're setting themselves to be revived into the prince of this world's kingdom. Just making it a better place. It's a dangerous thing that they're looking for. The Jewish people, whenever Jesus was here, were looking for a revival. They were looking for a Savior to redeem them, to redeem Jerusalem from the Roman Empire. They were looking for to be revived as a nation so that they could be patriotic again and so that they could get all excited about the promises that God had promised them. And they were waiting for someone to bring that revival to their life. And when God came, when Christ came, they missed Him. Because their revival didn't fit God's revival. They were looking for the wrong thing. They were looking to bring the enemy down. They were looking to take Rome to bring them down. They were looking for someone to bring the world right back to their feet. And He offered them a cross and suffering. And very few of them chose that. Very few of them recognized that revival. Jesus told them, you cannot put new wine in old wineskins. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and from faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth the herbs, meet for them by whom it is dressed, God receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. Though we thus speak, for God is not unrighteous to forget your works of labor of love, which ye have showed from toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater an oath, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Often we take this on a personal level, these verses here. But I believe, at least doesn't do any harm to what he's saying, is to put this on a church level, on a group level. These verses, that there's been a revival. There's been a repentance. And people, a church forms, and they begin to follow God. And they see the things that are happening. They taste the powers. They understand the Word of God. They're enlightened. And they walk in that path. But after some time, they begin to lose what they have, and they begin to fall away. I believe that fits with putting new wine in old wineskins. That churches, once they have left what is right, and God departs from them, they have their old wineskin. They have their own cloth. And they try to put something new into it. It'll never work. It'll rip it, or it'll explode the bottle. The bottle that they had at one time was new. And it was, you could put wine in it, and it worked. But then after it began to get old, and you put something new into it, it would explode. It would rend the tear. It had been like this ground that had brought forth, that God rained on, and God sent His blessing on, and then it began to bring forth tears. It began to bring forth thorns and briars, and after a while it became good for nothing. Nothing to be burned. You can't revive an old, dead wineskin. You come out from it. People are trying to revive something that's dead. Denominations and whole groups don't revive. Individuals revive. People have tried to revive the Catholic Church. That's what we got with the Protestant movement. They tried to revive it. They tried to fix it. They tried to put new wine in the old wineskins. And when it wouldn't work, they decided to reform it and fix it. They're still trying to put new wine in old wineskins. The only way that we can get to what we need to be is to go back to the source. The only way to get to where we want to go is to go back to the source. If we try just to recapture something someone else has done, we miss it. Thought of a saying this week, quote, "A journey of 1,000 miles. If you take a journey of 1,000 miles and you start off in the wrong direction, you may make 1,000 miles, but you won't make your destination. If you don't start off on the right foot, if you don't start off heading the right direction, your whole journey will have been in vain. Repentance is returning back to God and back to His ways. It's not trying to recreate something or trying to reform something. People are trying to reform the Amish and the Mennonite churches. They're trying to reform them. They see the bad things in them. They see the things that are going on, the deadness, and they're trying to reform them. I tried to reform the churches that I grew up in because I thought, well, there was something there maybe at one time. And so I tried to fix it. And it's our natural tendency to try to do that, to go back to the people that you knew and loved and grew up with and try to warn them about it. But that's what we should be doing, is going to try to warn them to come out of it instead of just trying to fix it. You can't fix something that God has already withdrawn from. You can't repair something that's already gone bad. All you can do is call someone out of it or get out of it. People are looking for this revival. People are looking for things to encourage their life. People are looking for, they're searching for something that will improve their Christianity. And they look all over the world. They try to look for this solution or that solution, or maybe if I do this, or maybe if I do that, maybe if I get plainer, or maybe if I understand theology better, that'll fix me. But God is looking for us to simply return back to Him and just do His will. It's our turn. Now. Right now is your time. It's not the time of the history books. It's not the time of the early church. It's not the time of the Anabaptists. It's not the time of our forefathers. It's our time. It's your time. You are the one that the angels and the host of heaven are watching to see who is going to carry the torch now. Don't try to revive something old that's in an old dead wineskin. You carry the torch right now. I've got a letter a man that had been with us for a while, and he got compromised. I thought of this morning, you know how Jesus gave the parable of the seed that was sown and how that some fell by the wayside. I didn't think the parable out thoroughly, but I did think about it a little bit. The results of the parable or what he was trying to say. And I thought about things and how the Word of God is received today. Some people hear the Word of God and they hate it. They hate it. And it just goes to nothing. Some people hear it and just ignore it. That's like the one that's on the wayside. Some people hear it and then they compromise. They just make little changes, subtle little changes, and just the little things that cause the friction of the cross, and they just grease it up just a little bit and it just slides right off their back. Then there's some who hear it and they stumble or they fail and they get so discouraged that it just drowns them in it. They don't even know how to return because they've had so much confidence in themselves and their pride is so kicked out from under them that they can't even get back up. Then there's some that hear it and it falls on the good ground and someone does it. That's what we need to be. Someone who's ready and willing to hear what God has for you and what He wants you to say and do. This man compromised. In this letter that he wrote tells about him being a weakling and not even willing, not even able to bear his own cross. It's confusing what he's trying to say because he's confused. He don't understand that he left the real cross and now he's trying to bear something that he don't even know what it is. He sent a little letter here with it. This is a man that tried to reform what he had. We have sought to make many good changes. It's Elmo Stahl. It's called The Wind. He left the Amish churches and he tried to start their own little group. And they tried to adjust some things that they thought were wrong. We have sought to make many good changes. I believe many of them are indeed of themselves quite good and desirable. But the thing that may be our eventual undoing is the introduction that we can so readily decide which changes are desirable. His own undoing was having enough wisdom to decide what changes were desirable, is what he just said. When we lose confidence in what our ancestors gave us and receive confidence in our own discerning, we have been infiltrated by the most insidious aspect of modernity, modern times. When we lose confidence in what our ancestors gave us and receive confidence in our own discerning, we have been infiltrated. When we lose confidence in what somebody else did before us and start to think that we have to fight the battle ourselves and have wisdom for ourselves, we're falling into modernism. That is utter nonsense. That is taking all responsibility away from you being a man of God. That is taking everything away from you taking up your own cross and following Christ. This is the hopelessness of trying to reform something that God has left. You try to make some changes and try to fix little things and adjust things that you see are wrong. If you don't get the cross yourself, and you don't take it up yourself, and if you don't follow it yourself, you wind up going right back to where you came from. Some people come to us from the world, and they start out for a while, and then when things get tough, they return right back to the world because that's their comfort zone. That's where it's comfortable for them to be. And I've saw many people come out of churches, come out of plain churches, come out of any church, and they see what's wrong and they fight against it for a while. But then whenever things get real tough and the cross gets real heavy, they just quietly sink right back into their comfort zone and go right back to where they came from. In one shape or another. They might have changed a few things, fit in with another group, but it's still a comfortable little safe place that they can feel at home with. Christ did not call us to a safe place. We're in this world, and our battle is to prove whether we will be worthy to fit into His kingdom. Whether we will be found loyal to Him and faithful to Him in the end. We may fall. We may stumble. We may do a lot of things. But if we get up and keep pressing on, our goal is to be with Him. Our goal is for Him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and not be entangled with what this world has to offer. I wrote back this letter, and this is what I've written to him. I'll read his letter. "You talked about our faults, many of which I can neither deny or defend. Things that cause me grief, things that have caused stumbling. Yet there is more, so much more that you have missed. Maybe the wind comes closer to discovering our iniquities than many false burdens and causes of banishment. When I was in a state of angry reaction, I was wise and brave. But now that I have repented and have soberly chosen the way of submission to and respect for brotherhood, I am a weakling, unwilling to bear my cross. Yet I can't tell if this very thing is a reaping for the past wavering or if it is my cross. In either case, it is the way of the gospel of the kingdom. I will bear it." A reaping. Maybe this confusion I'm facing is a reaping because I question the authority of a church that I can see has caused many to stumble and it has many faults that I cannot defend nor deny, nor do I even wish to change them anymore. That's his cross. That's a pitiful cross. I wrote back, "We are not just pointing out faults in the Mennonite church. We all have our faults. The problem is the Mennonite church must be God. It is your God. The church has usurped its authority and its place. You worship your heritage. You worship what the church represents. When you worship Christ the way the early Anabaptists worshiped Christ, you will have the result you are seeking, whether you have heritage or not. The time I spent in the Mennonite church, I learned to love the people, and I learned a lot of things there. But a lot of things I learned there were learned in spite of the church, not necessarily because of it. Those things that I learned from the church when I first heard about the church and what they taught, I already knew. I was already doing most of them, and I said, "Praise the Lord, there's somebody still maintaining these things." What I found after being there for years is that we have these things for entirely different reasons. I had learned these things for entirely different reasons. Most of the people here in the Church of Monette are here not because we taught them anything. They are here because we find fellowship with others who have found a way to express these very things. They were already written on their hearts. And men and women have found someone who was following the same teachings. And we allow them to have this fellowship together to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Our fellowship is organic, not created nor maintained for 500 years. This is the difference. Whenever it's just simply something that has been maintained or something that is to be created, it becomes the God. No one in the Bible that we look up to or appreciate was powerless and unable to bear their cross. Our courage comes from the Spirit of God. God does not give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and power. People think that because we have made a definite decision and stand on what we truly and firmly believe, that we are somehow arrogant or filled with our own ways. We believe the teachings of Christ, and we believe in Him. We have committed our whole hearts to that, and there is nothing that is false that can stand in its way and that intimidates churches and organizations. We have committed our whole hearts to that, and there is nothing that is false that can stand in its way, and that intimidates churches and organizations, whether they be Baptist, Mennonites, Catholics, or whatever. Jesus, John the Baptist, the apostles were thought to be arrogant. "Who are you? Who sent you?" was the question they were asked. "How do you speak with this authority? Where does your authority come from?" Ours comes from apostolic succession. We are the children of Abraham. Jesus and John the Baptist said Christ was able to raise up of these stones to become the children of Abraham. He didn't need their succession. We're talking with a Catholic man right now that is seeking and understanding truth, and yet he can't understand where our authority comes from. Because his authority comes from the succession of the apostles. He says that we have to obey the church, the Catholic Church. He believes that you have to be a part of the Catholic Church because they have the heritage, just exactly like the Mennonites say. And the sad thing is, if he is right, the Mennonites owe the Catholic Church an apology and should rejoin them immediately. If the hope for Christianity lies in the heritage of the Anabaptists and the wisdom of the Anabaptist forefathers, then God have mercy on them all. Because for 200 years, they were planting corn, building their nice farms, and all the world has gone to hell and perished because they were not trying to instruct them in what they were trying to maintain. You are winking at darkness and stumbling in it. May God help you to see the light more, one more time, and do not falter. Cling to it. Cling to the nothingness of faith that the saints have, not to the organization or the heritage that the Pharisees had. Today is our time. The way we live today will produce fruit, good or bad. The things that you do today will affect someone else in the future. Good or bad. The life that you live is either going to be a blessing or a curse to someone else. The reason people suffer is because someone failed. The reason there's darkness in churches is not because we didn't maintain suspenders or black hats. The reason there's darkness in churches is because somebody laid their cross down and then tried to maintain their system. And there's reason there's darkness and people are stumbling around in darkness in those places is because somebody failed them. Somebody failed them. So now they're trusting solidly in a system where they don't have to think anymore. All they have to do is read what their forefathers gave them. Which if they would even compare that, it doesn't match what they're doing. Not at all. It doesn't matter what you've been involved in or what you've came out of. What you've had to suffer in your life. That suffering came because somebody else dropped the ball. That's what sin does. It brings suffering. But blessing can be just as powerful as the curse. If someone's dropped the ball in your life, you have an opportunity to break the cycle. If you continue in the cycle, somebody else is just going to go through the suffering that you're going through. Somebody else is going to have to stumble out of the system all by themselves without your help. But if you break that cycle and you become a blessing, then what comes after you can be a blessing also. The faith is passed from faith to faith, not from tradition to tradition. Not from ancestor to ancestor. It is passed by faith. The nothingness of faith. It just looks completely helpless and hopeless to people who are trusting in, I've got this system, or I've got this behind me, or I've got this supporting me, holding me up. But for someone just to have faith and walk with God, to dare to be a Daniel and stand alone, to dare to be one of the three Hebrew children and stand up when all the rest of them are falling on their face worshiping an idol, to see what they see, to have eternity in their eyes, to look into someone's face and see eternity. Not set on this world, but to have the gaze of eternity on their heart. They're not trusting in what group they're a part of or what churches, how many churches they have fellowship with. They're seeing past all of that. Seeing the eternal God of heaven and His Christ and His kingdom. May God help us to have that vision. May God help us to be found worthy to fit into His kingdom. You know, we don't, whenever we say worthy, been thinking about that. I'm not talking about our abilities. I'm talking about what we do with our abilities. Everything that you have, everything that you are, God gave you. But God is going to judge us on how you use it. If He gave you some wisdom, you didn't think of that yourself. God gave it to you. If He gave you strength, a good body, a bad body, if you're kind of dumb, you're kind of smart, whatever you are, don't take no credit for it. God gave you everything that you have. All we can do is say, Lord, I'm an unprofitable servant. You're a vessel. Just a vessel. Strong, weak, white, black, red, yellow, smart. It don't matter. You're just a vessel. Father, mother, child, whatever you are. You didn't create it. God did. He put you in it and said, now, you got the choice to make how you're going to yield your vessel. And what you're going to live for. And who you're going to live for. Are you going to be worthy to be able to present yourself back to Him? And everything that He gave you, whether it was a little or a lot, how are you using it? You may have struggles that nobody else has. You may have struggles that everybody else has. But it doesn't matter. It's how you are faithful in what He's given you. The time is yours. It's not something that happened, somebody did 100 years ago or 500 years ago or 2,000 years ago. Right now, you are being given the opportunity to see whether you will be worthy of His kingdom. If you can't speak, or you can. If you can't sing, or you can. It doesn't matter. You didn't create it anyway, if you can. You might mess it up, but you can't take any credit for it. You might improve it just a little bit, but it's still just a gift. Everything that you have and are is a gift from God. Maybe you grew up in a bad situation. Maybe you grew up in a good situation. You didn't have a thing to do with it. Take what God has given you, give it back to Him, and live for Him. It's just that simple. And if you've given it back to Him and you follow that to the end and are faithful, you'll be worthy of whatever lies in eternity. I don't know what's in store. It's much better than this. But unless we're faithful in this, we'll never know what that is. May the Lord add blessings to His words. Thank You, Father, again for Your goodness and mercy to us. Fill us with Your Spirit, God. Help us be worthy vessels, Lord, of Your honor and glory, Lord. Help us bless Your life. Bless You. And Lord, we just ask that You'd be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Have anything I'd like to share? mentioned earlier, Hugo died in Mexico. Brother Daniel had gone to talk to him the day before and had some concerns because he felt like he was holding on to some bitterness and some unforgiveness. So Brother Daniel was able to talk to him the day before he died about not being able to forgive his mother and for some things. And he just wasn't willing to let go. He said, well, we can't do everything Christ wants. So we're leaving to God's hands. But it certainly wasn't a cheerful last talk that they had with him. Even on his knowing that he was going to die any day, still just couldn't let go. Sin gets a terrible hold. We think we'll be all right. The thief on the cross, he got saved right then. If you come down to your deathbed and you haven't let something go. I remember one time I had an aunt that used to just mock at how I was living. Sunday school teacher, she was. I went to see her just a little before she died, and I asked her. She always boasted about being saved and being right with God. Right before she died, I asked her, I said, is it all right? And she had a grave look on her face. And she said, I'm trying, Dave, I'm trying. I don't know how, whether she made it or not. But you're not going to, if you hold on to something all your life, you're not going to change it on the last minute. I've saw it. I've watched it. Today is the day of salvation. People think as long as they're living, they're all right. As long as they have breath, they've got another chance. The problem is, they might be given a lot of breaths without another chance. The Lord.
Just speaking about the message and talking about the putting new wine into new wine skins and trying to put it in the hole. Speaking about that as denominations or things like that. I think it was just last night we were talking about it. And if there is someone in those kind of restricted situations or old wineskins, if they, we talked about it before too, we talked about it once in a while, like, can there be anyone walking in the light in those situations? I think they can, particularly keep walking in the light, that whole mindset will come out. Mm-hmm. It will not just contain them.
I really appreciate the message. Amen to it.
Thank you, Lord.
what you've done is to determine, just given each of us a good, strong back to use. His ball, his ball, his arm, house, up, choice. And we just can't blame anybody else for anything else. You know? It's ours, huh?
Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you all. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening, Lord willing.
Sing my soul in wondrous love, to from yon bright throne above, and through our soul or
Yeah.